You shouldn't need a game plan just to get out of the car. Joint Relief Institute can help you. Fast, non-surgical, immediate pain relief and covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
You should know our friend Pat Brady, Senior Vice President of Mercury Public Affairs, former chairman for the Illinois Republican Party. Is there any doubt, Pat, that Governor Pritzker is going to make a presidential run in 2028?
I don't think so. I saw him speak yesterday, and he still says he's focused on Illinois, but it seems like he's focusing on running, and he actually done a nice job with his messaging. I think he's a Democrat that kind of realizes you can't just be, I hate Trump 24/7. You got to talk about what you're going to do. And so, yeah, I think he's running. Now, he says he's not, but it sure seems like he is.
Where did you see him speak?
There was, you ever hear of Punch Bowl? It's a D.C.-based portable news outlet, and they had a thing at 190 South LaSalle in the library there. Boy, what a nice space. Just beautiful, but it was good. And I've said this before, you don't ever underestimate him as a candidate. He's likable, and he speaks well, and, he does a nice job with it.
Yeah, he never seems to fumble for words. He's very articulate, very articulate, regardless what room he's in. And I saw one of the quotes, and he said he plans to be, quote, very involved in the 2028 presidential election.
Yeah, and along with that, the way his approach, the kind of calmness, too, these elections over the years, it's typically kind of a reaction to the candidate before, the president before. So the calm may play well compared to what we've seen. A lot of Trump lives on chaos. That's his style. But it seems Governor Pritzker is just a lot calmer, and I think that may help him, too, just that kind of delivery.
I hear people mention his name, but if you look at the numbers, and the numbers really mean nothing at this point, Pete Buttigieg seems to be in the lead when it comes to Democrats as far as polling.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom, the California governor, Pete Buttigieg, because he's been out there, he was a former cabinet member. And you make a good point, though. These are state-by-state contests. You could do well in New Hampshire and go from 2% in the polls to 30% overnight. I've seen that happen a lot. So the national polls are kind of meaningless. And the governor's got unlimited resources, too, which other candidates don't have. And we talked last week, money doesn't necessarily win elections, but it's nice if you have it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, John Williams told me that Mayor Johnson only raised, something like $2,500 last month for his mayoral campaign. When I did do a search, it looks like he's got reports are about $813,000, but that pales in comparison to Alexei Janulis's $18 million. What's going on there? John kind of left me thinking, well, is he running or is he not running?
I think he's running. I'm not sure if he's focused on fundraising yet, but I think the petitions to run could go out next month. So that's not a very, very good number to have only $800,000 in the bank when your opponent's going to have $20 million. Now, money is not everything, but again, it's very important, but those are pretty anemic numbers. I got to go look at him, too. Did he only get $2,500 last month or in donations? Or
That was just what John said. I'm taking it on John's word. I don't know everything about it, but I thought that just seems so odd. But you're right, he's not campaigning. I don't see him campaigning at all. Maybe he's too busy doing his job, but it seems like most politicians, their side job is raising money. Sometimes it's their main job.
They're 3 or 4 hours every afternoon on the phone. But the good thing about being an incumbent, and incumbency is very powerful, is that doing your job is actually quasi-campaigning. If you're actually doing things for the people, there's no better position to be in than that. So that may be kind of the approach they're taking rather than going into full campaign mode. But it's going to be interesting to see how this field shakes out because Alexei hasn't announced yet. Susanna has. I don't know if Mike Quigley did or not, but it's going to be a full field.
Right. It's getting busier by the day. Do you think Pritzker is worried about Darren Bailey, or do you believe that he believes he'll handily beat him in an election?
I'm not sure what they're thinking. I think I'm sure they're not super worried about it just because it's going to be a rough year for Republicans, given that the president's pretty unpopular and that usually spills down to elections below that. But I think they're smart enough to know that you can never take anything for granted, and things could change, things could blow up. So I don't think he's taking it for granted, but I'm sure he's not super worried that that Darren Bailey's going to beat him. Although I think Darren Bailey's actually done a much better job as a candidate than he did last time, just kind of a nicer version of himself, and understandably so, given the tragedies he's been through. But, I would suspect that Governor Pritzker's in pretty good shape.
Any chance for Rahm Emanuel? I mean, there he was on his bicycle all through New Hampshire. I'm not sure, what that did. We, there was a little talk about it here, but the focus was on New Hampshire. He seems pretty serious about his run.
Yeah, and I think just watching him, and I've seen a lot of him lately, he's a guy, I think, that enjoys being in the game. He's a policy expert, and if you watch him on some of these talk shows, he's really good at the national security and the foreign policy. And that's how historically you win in New Hampshire. You go out and shake everybody's hand, and that can really catapult you into the next primary. So I wouldn't count anybody out at this point, particularly a guy like Rahm Emanuel, who's forgotten more about politics than I'll ever know.
Yeah. And I talked to Leland Vittert every day. He was talking yesterday about J.D. Vance doing what he needs to do. If the Iran deal gets done, J.D. Vance emerges as one of the players and hopefully bumps out his rival for the presidential ticket on the Republican side, and that would be Rubio. How do you think that's going to shake out?
Well, it's a risky place to be, because that can also be a place where you're going to be wearing the jacket for the whole thing if it blows up. And this thing is very tenuous. It's just a deal to quit lobbing bombs and open up the straits, and then a deal to talk further about the big issue. So we're a long way from a real deal. I'm glad that they're not lobbing bombs anymore, but we're still a long, long way from having this be resolved, because the big issues have yet to be talked about. Now, if J.D. Vance gets in the middle of that and is successful, yeah, that's helpful. But if he gets in the middle of it, blows up, it's not helpful. But I do think Marco Rubio has actually enhanced himself a lot with the Republicans, and it's probably those two. But who knows who may emerge beyond those two? There are other people that might get in, too. So we've got a ways to go.
Yeah, it's so early. It is so early, and we've seen this in the past where people we never thought would run actually went on to run and win. So
yeah, Bill Clinton got in when George H.W. Bush was polling in the mid 80%. Never seen it like that after the Kuwaiti war.
Yeah.
And he was at 3% early on and ended up being the nominee. But the thing is, Lisa, as you know, we talk every week, there's no break in politics anymore, right? It's always
never. Never.
And I love it, but man, it is nonstop.
It's a lot. I'm glad you cover it for us. Thanks so much for joining us, Pat.